Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you. It was nice to sing that old hymn this morning, Dare to Be a Daniel. I was trying to find a hymn that would suit what it is we're going to look at today. And if you open your Bible at Psalm 15, we're going to be looking at the verse 4, or at least part of the verse 4, first part. And the first part says, In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. Now that's what caused Daniel to stand alone. Because he saw what was happening in his day as the outworkings of the thoughts and notions of evil men. And he wasn't prepared to go along with it. And he stood against, I never hear that hymn, but I'm transported away back to the city of Liverpool. Nearly 50 years ago, if it's not 50 years ago, when I visited there, I visited it on a number of occasions, not a large number, but a number of occasions, and preached in the Protestant Reformers Memorial Church, which later became Liverpool Free Presbyterian Church. And amongst the people there, whenever there was an opportunity, they used to sing that hymn. It was almost like an anthem to them. And they sang it many times out in the open air, Dare to Be a Daniel. So I never hear it sung, but I think of those happy days, good days that we had in Liverpool long, long ago. Well, I hope there's a Daniel or two amongst us here today. In fact, I hope you're all Daniel, moved by the same spirit that moved him, even the Spirit of God. Let's just read again the words that we're going to be looking at this morning. Verse 4, In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Contemned. We don't use that word too often in these days, but it's not far removed from the word which is not far removed from it. The word condemned means to despise. It means not to hold a good opinion of a person. The one who is going to abide in the house of God and hold fellowship with the Lord hears what is said about them. They condemn the vile person. But on the other hand, they honoureth them that fear the Lord. Now, let me just remind you that we have seen so far in our study that the standard that the Lord requires of us, if we are to enjoy fellowship with him on an abiding, permanent manner, has a requirement of our feet. We must walk in the way of the Lord. The Lord has a requirement regarding our hands. We must work righteousness. The Lord has a requirement regarding our heart. We speak truth in our heart, it says in the verse 2. The Lord requires a standard concerning our tongue, for we considered yesterday how he backbiteth not with his tongue. So every part of our being is required to be conformed to God's standard. And we move on this morning to another aspect of our being, in whose eyes. So we've thought about our feet, we've thought about our hands, we thought about our heart, we've thought about our tongue, and now we're going to think about our eyes, how we look at things. Boys and girls, how we see things indicates what we are. You know what I mean. There are those who saw the Lord Jesus, and they said, I don't like him. That's how they saw him. And then there were others who saw the same person, and they said, I love that man. He's so good, he's so kind, he's so merciful. He's here to save me and take me to heaven. So it was the same person, but different eyes. The view of Christ was very different. Now God wants to know what our view of things are. And he tells us the view we should have of certain matters. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoureth those that fear the Lord. Here we have the views of the good man, the good woman, the good boy and the good girl. I want you to notice, first of all, boys and girls, that as Christians, we are required, commanded, to evaluate those around us. Evaluate those around us. Do you know what I mean? Well, your mum and dad, and maybe some of you older ones, handle money. And every so often, there is a warning issued that there are those going around circulating false money. They have printed out usually large denominations of money, £20 notes. They have printed their own. They're not worth anything. And if you find yourself in possession of a £20 note, you have not got £20, you have got nothing but a piece of paper. It's of no value. But people, you see, print these out, forge them, they're counterfeit money, and they go into shops, and they pass off this £20 as a real £20, and they get maybe £1 item, and get £19 of real money back again. So they're rich by £19, plus what it is they bought. But the shopkeeper has got £20 note that's worth nothing. So this happens all the time, and every so often when it's detected that these false counterfeit notes are being passed around, a warning goes out to shopkeepers and to customers, watch out! So that anyone who happens to have a £20 note, not too many people of those today, but anybody who has, they have a good look at them. And they make sure by holding up to the light that the true mark of a £20 note is there. For every genuine £20 note has an identification mark that says it is a real £20 note. So there's a checking and evaluating of money oftentimes. But it doesn't stop there. We evaluate other things as well. If you're ever in the supermarket with mum and she's buying items, oftentimes she'll take it down from the shelf and she'll look at it. And the chances are what she's looking for is the date that's stamped on it that says if the date is passed, then there's a question mark over the food that's in that particular item. We have what is called sell-by dates. In other words, an item should be sold by this date. And if this date has passed, then this item might not be suitable for eating. So there's a checking of food. And I'm illustrating, boys and girls, that throughout our lives we are forever checking on what's happening around us. And acting accordingly. Maybe this morning, you didn't notice it, but mum or dad looked out the window to check the weather. To see how you should be dressed, whether you would need an overcoat to keep the rain out. But there is that practice within our lives constantly, checking and checking and evaluating. Well, God says you're to evaluate those around you, the people around you, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. The word means despised. We're to check people, and we're not to like everybody. We're not to keep company with everybody. We're not to think of everybody as a good person. Now, of course, there are those who would say, oh, this is very wrong. And they would even quote part of a verse of Scripture and say, it's not right to judge anyone. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. For here is the opposite to that. Here is God saying, you judge people as to what they're like. The Bible doesn't say you're not to judge people. What it does say is you're not to judge people unless you're prepared to live by the judgment you pass on others. In other words, you can't say, that man's a liar, while all the time you tell lies. That's wrong. I think you understand that. No, we are to evaluate, weigh in the balances what people are like and form an opinion of them in accordance with what we observe and know about them. The word that is spoken of here in verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, that simply means despised. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? There'll be an awful lot of people who say, oh, how sinful and wrong it is to despise anyone. Well, God says we are to despise such. a person, as is here described, a vile person. And if we don't despise the vile person, God says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're not going to abide in my tabernacle. You're not going to dwell in my holy hill. If you don't hold this opinion of a vile person. The word that is used here, condemned, contemned, as I say, is the word despised. And it appears for the first time in the Bible, and you remember what I say, that it's always a good idea to look up where a word that we're considering appears for the first time in the Bible. Because that helps us to understand what the word means. It appears in Genesis, chapter 25, and the verse 34. And it speaks of Esau. Esau despised his birthright. He was the son of Isaac, brother of Jacob. You know the story of how Isaac mistakenly was going to bless Esau with that blessing that was passed down from God through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and right throughout the nation that sprung of those men, the nation of Israel. That blessing which rests upon the Jews and will rest upon the Jews, although they're not enjoying the benefit of that blessing today because of their sinful rejection of Christ, but there's a day coming when it will please God to restore them to fellowship with Him, and they will enter in to the benefits and blessings of that which Isaac was wishing to pass on to Esau. Now, Esau wasn't God's choice, but Esau's father liked him. Liked him more than he liked Jacob. Fathers often do that. Mothers often do that, foolishly. You see, Isaac didn't properly examine and evaluate his son Esau. He formed a wrong opinion about Esau. Well, the story goes how the mother of Jacob heard that this was going to happen, that the father was going to bless Esau, and she wanted Jacob to be blessed, and so she came up with a scheme. You remember how she made a meal for old Isaac, and because his eyes were dim, she dressed up Jacob with the fur of animals upon his hands and upon his neck, and that deceived Isaac and caused him to think that as he was blessing Jacob, he was actually blessing Esau. Well, the reference to Esau despising God's blessing was the result of an earlier event. When Jacob made food for himself, Esau came in hungry, weary, and he says, give me some of that food that you've prepared. It's called pottage. I would say it like soup. And he says, give me some of that bread and soup you've prepared. And Jacob said, certainly, if you sell me your birthright. Because he was the oldest, you see, and to him would come that blessing we have just spoken about. And Esau said, all right, it's yours. Just give me the food. He didn't put any value on God's blessing. And he sold it for a bowl of soup. That's what the story says. And that's what it means when it says, Esau despised his birthright. Put no value on it. And sold it for a bowl of soup. Or something very similar to a bowl of soup. So there we get the meaning of the word. He put no value on it. Didn't count it of any real worth. Well, that's what God says here we should do. We should look upon the vile person and put no value on them. Don't think highly of them. But see them for what they are. See them for what they are. Now, it's a common practice that when we read about someone who is a murderer, and we read about it every day if you were following the news, every day, in virtually every news report, there's a story concerning someone who has been murdered, and they name the murderer. Sometimes it's only a little baby murdered. The little baby was murdered by its mother, or by its father. And when we hear that, we say, what a terrible person. What an awful person. What a vile person. And we despise them. We despise them. And that's right. When we read about robbers, when we read about thieves, when we read about terrorists, when we read of Vladimir Putin, the leader of the Russians and what he's doing to the people in Ukraine, we despise that man for his wickedness, and rightly so. God wants us to hold a proper opinion of those who are wicked and who are vile. But you know, boys and girls, as it is with all of God's commandments, there's an awful lot of people take no heed to that. Consequently, you find today that vile people are not condemned, but they're held up and honoured, and their ways and their words and their habits are copied as if they were those who should be imitated. We see everywhere this being the case in the world of sport. There's the vilest tongued men whose lives are filled with immorality, but because they can kick a ball with some measure of what people consider skill, they're highly honoured. There's boys, and they have their rooms decorated with pictures of them. That's wrong. That's not holding the view of a vile person that God wants you to. We could say the same about the pop world, the singers, so-called. I never can quite understand how those who pass as singers actually are considered singers. For as far as I'm concerned, they don't sing. They just make a noise into a microphone that if you weren't given the words of the song, you wouldn't have a clue what they're saying. And I also think that the tune, and that's maybe misapplying the word, but the tune they're singing the words to is very like the tune the last person sung, and the person before that, but they all seem to be the same. But anyway, people pay fortunes of money to go and stand for hours listening to this person, and they live by the vilest of standards. They do the most wicked of things, but people honour them. Young people in particular honour them. God says that's wrong. That's wrong. We have in the political world the same. Those who rise to the highest offices in the land, they're deceivers and they're liars. You can't believe a word they say, but people honour them. People swear by them. God says we're not to hold such opinions of those who are vile. You want to dwell with God, then you've got to hold God's view of wicked people. You've got to hold God's view of wicked people. It's not uncommon, if I might return to the realm of football, it's not uncommon for a man who supports one club working alongside a man who supports another club, which is a rival of the club this man supports. And the two of them are at each other, day and daily, arguing the bit out as to which club is the best. Well, if you hold a view of a wicked person that's different from God's view of that person, then you and God are in conflict. Do you understand? That's what God's saying. You can't dwell with me. You can't fellowship with me if you don't share my opinion of those who are wicked, those who are vile. Sadly, here in our country, there are those who receive support, but who are in fact terrorists, murderers, robbers, perverts, and they're honoured. They're exalted by the votes of the people into high positions, and they rule over the land and make decisions for the land. And we're flying in the face of God's word when that happens. And it's little wonder countries find themselves in trouble when they are ruled by those who are vile in the eyes of God. And that's the case in Ulster at the present time. Now, of course, I have to say this to you, that we must be very careful when forming an opinion of a person. When we look at them and we want to say to ourselves, well, is this a vile person or is this a good person? And we don't turn to the person next to us and say, what do you think? And then whatever it is they think, well, okay, that's my opinion as well. That wouldn't be the way to do it. We have to judge righteous judgment, the Bible says. When we're forming our opinion of a person, we must look at them, listen to their words, look at their actions, and then look at our Bible and see if what they do, what they say, how they live is in keeping with the Word of God. That's how we form a proper opinion. And if they, in the light of God's Word, are not good people, then that's our opinion, and we've got to stand for it. Like as it said in our opening hymn, dare to be a Daniel, and stand up and say, that person that everybody's exalting and honoring and praising, that person's not a good person, and we shouldn't be holding this opinion of them. We should reject them or her. That's how we live our lives, boys and girls. That's how we live our lives. It has been said regarding politics that whoever is an elected politician, when they come to the place where they make decisions, Stormont as it is in our land, or the Houses of Parliament over there in London, when they come there and they go through the door, they should leave the Bible behind and forget about it and what it says, and just go in and form opinions about what is the right policy to follow by our own notions, not by what the Bible says. Well, I have to say that in Stormont today, almost every one does that, and they support and they honour those who should not be honoured. They follow the leadership and they work with those that God says should not be honoured. That's the state of the land today, because people have turned against the teaching of the Bible. God says, if you want to abide in my tabernacle, if you want to dwell in my holy hill, then in your eyes, a vile person is to be condemned. I have two other points. I'll just very quickly mention them. The second one is this. We need to take heed to this commandment, especially in this day, because this is a day in which there are many vile people around, wanting you to support them, wanting you to think well of them. We read, for instance, that Paul the Apostle warns in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days there will be the vilest of people coming along. And in verse 5 of that chapter 3 of 2 Timothy it says, from such turn away. Not turn to, but turn your back on them. Reject them. John the Apostle says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Here is a call, as is in the case of what we quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we have God saying, you're to evaluate those around you and form a correct opinion of them. And if a person is a vile person in accordance with what the Bible teaches, then you are to despise them. You are to despise them. We're to try then men and women and the opinions of men and women by the Word of God. By the Word of God. One last thing. You'll find God then says the very opposite, the other side of the coin, as it were. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. So when you're to despise the wicked, you're to honour those who fear the Lord. Interesting, God puts it like that. And I'm back to telling you again, think on every word God gives you. The Lord doesn't say here, honour those who are saved. Honour those who say they're Christian. Honour those who profess to be converted. God doesn't use those words. But he says, honour those that fear the Lord. Because that's the true mark of a child of God. That's the true mark of faith. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and the verse 12 make that very plain. If you fear the Lord, then you're a genuine believer. A genuine believer. The fear of the Lord, we use the motto here in this school, is the beginning of wisdom. And when a person fears the Lord, that's when they begin to act wisely and obey the Lord and walk with Him and worship Him. This is a day, boys and girls, in which the very opposite to what God says is the rule by which men live. They don't despise the vile, but they honour the vile. They exalt the vile, they praise the vile person. And instead of honouring them that fear the Lord, they despise and hate the true followers of Christ. I mentioned 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the verse 3, we have one of a number of descriptions given of the wicked people who will flood the world in the last days. And one of the marks given of those people in the verse 3 is that they are despisers of those that are good. And that's what we have today. There is upon our nation an atmosphere in which the Word of God is despised. The people of God are despised. The Son of God is despised. But on the other hand, the wicked are honored and exalted. We're not to live by such standards, but as we read here, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but you honor those that fear the Lord. If you want to dwell with God, walking with Him here in this world, and then for all eternity, being with Him in heaven, then this is the opinion you've got to have of the wicked and of the good. May you learn that lesson, boys and girls. May you live by what is here said, for your own good and for the honor of God. We'll bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word. Give understanding to the boys and girls, I pray. And Lord, if they gain understanding of these words, how much wiser they will be than the vast, vast majority of people in our nation today. Bless our school. Undertake for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.